Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of Frank About Health. I'm Frank Harrison, and we're going to talk today about integrative medicine. I'm calling it Frank About Integrative Medicine. However, I have a special guest on with me, which I'll announce shortly, and we're going to take the platform of disabilities. My logic is stemming from last week's episode, which was a re-recording of neuropsychiatric disorders, particularly major depressive disorder, and your conscious consultant was very informative about the way to look at it from a positive point of view. So I decided from the mind-body spectrum that since we covered the mind last week, we're going to cover the body. Another personal reason why we're going to do that is because, as I've been mentioning since this show aired, I suffer from epilepsy, and in my case, it is a genetic disorder, or at least I inherited epilepsy through genetic means. So today we're going to talk about developmental disorders. Janet Neal, who you will hear soon or hear shortly, will be able to talk about it from various aspects where genetics are involved. And I figured the two that I want to discuss are autism and Down syndrome as a platform so she and I can have an informative and educational conversation about these disorders. They are genetic, as I've mentioned, but there are integrative solutions to treating them. Because I've also been saying over the last 10 weeks, the important issue is quality of life. I said the variable QOL, because when you understand with the disorder that you have, and let's say it's of the developmental kind, you want to know exactly how to improve your quality of life, especially since these disorders in particular are pretty much lifelong. So I'd like to introduce to you all out there to Ms. Janet Neal. I had the opportunity to meet her through a mutual friend of ours who has been on the show, Aretha Gray, and she is a commissioner on the LA Commission of Disabilities. Very informative woman. Also had the opportunity for her own radio show. I want her to explain her background because for me, when I heard it, I was amazed. So, Janet, I hear you out there.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on the show today. As I mentioned to you, this is a very important show because it kind of wraps up what I've been discussing over the last 10 weeks, and hopefully it'll open up a new chapter as I continue. So everyone out there, I'd like to introduce you once again to Ms. Janet Neal.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to the public about disability-related issues here in Los Angeles. I have a pretty extensive background in advocacy for the general population of people with disabilities, but I started off in preschool. I did some study through the Veterans Administration in UCLA in a human services program, and I decided I wanted to focus on preschoolers because I felt that there was something that was not being addressed that was trailing over into elementary school and junior high school, with some behavior issues where you have children with undiagnosed disabilities as young as 2 years old.
Right.
Very often it's denial of the parent, or they just don't know what to look for. And some of these children ended up being later diagnosed with autism, or I didn't have any particular children that had Down syndrome. My experience with them came much later. But there is a trend today to use the term special needs,
right,
which I absolutely hate.
Yes,
because I think it does
generic.
Not tell you what it is that you need to deal with or how to address it.
Right.
I've had conversations with parents that have used the term, and they have expressed some behavior problems with the child because the child knew something was wrong, but not what and what to do.
Right.
They just felt left out or odd,
right,
which is where I came in because I like for everyone to feel included, you know?
Correct, correct.
I like for everybody to be able to participate on the level that they have the ability to participate on. So,
correct.
I think this is probably why Aretha,
yes,
Miss Aretha,
yeah,
referred me to you because she knows how long I've been at this. I've known Aretha since May, probably junior high school.
Wow.
And at that time, my disability was undiagnosed. I didn't get diagnosed until I was 31 years old.
Mm.
And it was just really difficult for me because I was hearing all the time, because it is an orphan disease.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong, you know, so I was accused of making it up for attention. The problem was I was a concert pianist, so whenever I wanted attention, all I had to do was play the piano, and I got more attention than I wanted.
Interesting.
So I've always just been concerned about how people fit in, and being an advocate has allowed me to bring a lot of self-esteem and self-respect to people with disabilities. And as I said, I work with children, and it was really, really important to see the light in their eyes when they recognize, oh, maybe I can't do this the way somebody else does it, but I can still do it.
Correct. I mean, I know that.
I mentioned to you my favorite slogan that I brought with me is disabled doesn't mean unable.
Yes, yes, I found that. I found that to be very instrumental for even myself, because I use the slogan perception is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, epilepsy has a neural component for a lot of people, and it sometimes has been mistaken for a form of autism. But we are aware that that really is not the case, because there are so many variables surrounding something like epilepsy. But from what you've told me, especially from the fact that you've had to deal with the understanding of these disorders in the early years of the child as they're developing, it kind of creates the perception, as most people don't fully understand it, that in some cases they're referred to as retarded or they don't fit in.
I was just getting ready to say that was the basket that mm-hmm. everything was put into. In fact, even with my sister, she was diagnosed, if you can, we can use that, as mm-hmm. being 6 months retarded. Well, what does that mean?
Exactly.
Know, how does that translate into, now this, we're talking about back in the 50s.
Right.
And they didn't know anything about autism or Down syndrome as they do today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, in my opinion, it fell into the orphan disease category at that point in time.
Can you
so
define
when you translate
orphan?
That into today, I think it means that she could have autism.
Interesting.
Because autism is a spectrum.
Right.
And the reason I'm saying this, and I don't mean to call my sister out or anything, but I've tried to help her.
Yes.
And I've talked to mental health professionals to try and get at how she could be helped. And it was very clear that's probably what it was, is some form of autism.
Now, can you define exactly for listeners out there orphan disease? I know you mentioned to me it's a category or cluster.
Yeah. It's a basket that they toss things into that they have no idea what it is. There aren't enough people with it for anybody to do any research, because they don't see how they're going to make any money off of it. And it's get stuck into orphan disease category until there are enough people with it for them to do some research. And I'm going to use autism as an example, because before Holly Robinson Peete and Autism Speaks came into being, there wasn't very much being done or known about the disease until because it was in her family. I believe it's her children that have it.
Right.
There just wasn't a lot of information or research or treatment for it. It's just all of these children were being treated as, quote, retarded, unquote. And I say it that way because that has become sort of an offensive word that we're trying to get people not to use.
Correct, correct. I mean, I figure I should have, you know, just create a little definition for everyone out there. I mean, I know that you and I are very familiar with these disabilities and these neurological disorders, but I guess for those who want to be able to understand the core behind autism before we really further delve into the kind of integrative solutions we can do for people who want to live a better life with it, I figure I want to point out that autism in particular is a neurodevelopmental disorder and is characterized by impairment in things like social interaction, verbal and nonverbal communication, restrictive and repetitive behavior, and the diagnostic criteria always seems to be with symptoms that become apparent before age 3. Autism is highly heritable, but researchers suspect both environmental and genetic factors are causes, but even my opinion is that that's putting it into a cluster as well. Autism does affect information processing in the brain by altering how nerve cells and their synapses connect. These comparisons to Asperger's, for example, and other rare cases like epilepsy, it really is not a connection to them. They have their own construct, but it is essentially a unique developmental disorder with behavioral intervention and a lot of challenges as they are going through that treatment. And I guess for everyone who's out there, what I know that Janet's going to be helping us explain, especially in the next segment, is how we can be able to take autism from the perspective of the neurological foundation it has, or even the genetic foundation it has, and show how it can be used, as I call, as an asset. I have a very good friend of mine whose sister has Down syndrome, and I'm familiar with the fact that Down syndrome has a lot of opportunities for people to construct devices, put puzzles together at super speed, even be able to take apart a television and redesign it, you know, among other things. I think that's all about object relations and the ability to, and in that particular case, use that development disorder for the purpose of helping out. Our friend Retha had mentioned she had a nephew who had autism, and apparently when his mother died, the siblings, I think a sister and a couple brothers, couldn't cope with the grief, but because autism has an affective component to it that isn't developed, he was the strength behind the family coping for that death. You know, so I find them both intriguing, and you know, I really want to explore more about autism and at the same time get into Down syndrome, but it appears that we're about to take a small break. And again, thank you for being here, Janet. I'm looking forward to us communicating even further.
All right.
Hear you in a bit.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, welcome to segment two. Today I'm being frank about integrative medicine in the area of developmental disorders. On with me today is Ms. Janet Neal, who I am very eager for all of you to hear more about who she is, what she does, a little bit about her own illnesses of a developmental nature, which I've learned about, and how they can correspond with the other disorders we've touched on, like autism and Down syndrome. And to be able to expand further for listeners out there as to how to improve our quality of life. So, Janet, we were just touching upon both autism and Down syndrome as how these disorders are genetic and in nature, but yet there are kind of nuances or gifts, as I call them, that are used when necessary. And I figured I'd like to hear more about your own experiences with these quote-unquote gifts and even discuss further with everybody about how you became an advocate from both personal experience as well as what it is you're trying to accomplish now, especially in L.A.
Okay. Background stuff. When I was maybe elementary school, my grandmother's sister, my great aunt, had something called Stewart's Nursery in Compton, which was a foster home for children with severe disabilities. These kids were under 21, and they were not expected to live more than 6 months, so they would send them to her. Wow. So they would have a place. I just had a lot of trouble getting my head around that as a kid. Is like, why are these kids here and not at home with their parents? Mm-hmm. And it was explained to me that their parents didn't know what to do for them, and she did. Mm-hmm. And everybody belongs somewhere, and these kids belong there with her.
Mm-hmm.
These kids, as I said, were expected to die. Some of them were 21 years old and still in cribs.
Mm.
And it became clear to me that people thrive when they're given care and attention and love.
Yes.
And some of these children that were expected to live, they took them away from her because they improved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big eye-opener for me. And then going later into early childhood education and the rest of the things I did, but it also, I think, helped me to be strong in the diagnosis of my own disability. I have a genetic condition. It's linked to defective collagen. Anybody that's been to Cirque du Soleil, you've probably seen people with it because those are the contortionists. If you've been to the circus, you've seen the contortionists. Mm-hmm. They probably have it. Houdini had this. Paganini had this. Rachmaninoff had this. They thought Rachmaninoff had an extra digit on his fingers to play those notes on the violin, but
wow,
it was actually the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome that allowed him to be hypermobile to reach those notes. The same thing with Rachmaninoff on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Houdini. All of those things that he could do is because of the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Wow.
It is a very rare connective tissue disease. I think part of the problem with me being diagnosed is I do not fit the visual profile. It is people of Western European ancestry, and I'm black. So
Wow. It
made it even more difficult for it to be diagnosed. But the interesting thing is that I have it on both sides of the family, which is very rare. One of my grandmother's sisters died from the vascular type, which I do not have. I have the hypermobile type.
Interesting.
I think in the news we've heard of, everybody's heard of John Ritter.
Yes.
The actor John Ritter. He had a form of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. There was a local basketball player, Hank Gaithers, that was playing basketball and died on the basketball court from the complications of type 4, the vascular type of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Wow.
When you hear people with ruptured aortic arches, prolapsed mitral valve, that's probably Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's related to something called Marfan syndrome, which is if you we can bring up an image of Abraham Lincoln and you see the hanging jowls and creases in his face,
yes,
and his long fingers, his height, and his knobby knees, that is a sign of Marfan syndrome.
Wow. And yet, as I've been saying, they have these extraordinary talents and have been able to succeed in the entertainment industry, in political means, in very creative means that most people, I guess, can only aspire to trying at one point in their life. But how would you classify, one, if any of those disorders have anything to do with Down syndrome or even autism? Maybe they don't. Maybe there's a connection that you could describe a little bit about. And
I don't know of a specific link, but mm-hmm, it doesn't mean that there isn't. It's just there's no research.
Right.
And I would have to say if there was the connection, it to me, in my opinion, would be a neurological connection.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
With the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, there is, because you have a tendency to dislocate your joints, they come out of place on their own. Huh. When you don't have the strength like the Cirque du Soleil people do to keep it in place,
yeah.
This will cause some neurological issues based on nerve damage.
Wow.
I have neuropathy from the nerve damage, from the dislocation.
Oh, is there any connection to also diabetes in your case, or no?
I don't, not that I know of, but it doesn't mean that there isn't. It's just there's no research.
Understood.
You know, and that's, to me, the part of the problem with the orphan diseases is there's no research.
Something that we definitely have to change, I guess.
Yeah, there's no research, there's no treatment, there's no medication. A lot of the individuals that have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, like I do, and there's three or four different types,
mm-hmm.
Some of them have morphine pumps. And I just decided that I wasn't going that direction. In their 30s, they've had bilateral knee replacements, hip replacements, shoulder replacements, finger fusions, spinal fusions, neck fusion, prolapse, kidneys, you know, all of these different things. And it just, there's no treatment for that. There's nothing you can do to fix that. You know, replacing the knee doesn't really work. Unfortunately, some of these people were misdiagnosed as something else, and that's very, very common. It presented as loose or lax joints, with the ligaments being too long and not stabilizing the joint. So they did surgery, to shorten the ligament, but that doesn't work because it doesn't heal properly. It comes a loose. The surgery comes a loose, and they have to go back in there again and take a little bit more tendon, and ultimately you will end up with a fused joint, which is going to wear the joint out, and you'll end up having to replace it, because I mentioned the knee replacements, and I said bilateral, which means it's been replaced twice.
Wow.
And these are people in their 30s.
They
also have heart attacks. People having heart attacks in their 30s is just unheard of, and which, back to John Ritter again, his brother, Tom Ritter, who I'm very well acquainted with also, was a member of the city's Commission on Disability when I was on that commission. Went and had some corrective surgery. John Ritter knew that there was something wrong. He just did not deal with it.
Do you think that he knew any of that when he was on the set of Three's Company or even his other show, Eight Simple Rules? I mean, it's
no.
Like...
Wow. And by the way, you know Aretha worked on that show.
Yes. At the Regal Beagle.
You know? Yes.
But either way, I mean, the thing that continues to amaze me, even though we had a brief discussion about this yesterday, is that I don't think it's even applied or aggressively pursued. That in itself disturbs me. But yet, as I've discovered from my own disorder or life with epilepsy, it's when you take the initiative to do the research and really interpret and understand, you find yourself being, you know, in a position to help provide added value to the medical practitioners out there. And I think that, you know, using this show as a means, especially with someone like you, I just hope that when this show streams all over the place, that there will be some impact going forward.
I find that you have to be your own advocate. When you know something is wrong, and if you have pain, don't let somebody convince you that you don't.
Right.
You know, if you don't feel well, don't let somebody convince you that you're making it up. You know, I like I said, I heard that all my life from a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard that, you know, I was making it up. But you have to advocate for yourself.
Yes.
And as you go through the litany of doctors that you may have to see, you see, have one that says, I don't see anything, then you move on. Find another one.
Yes.
Until you find somebody that's willing to work with you symptomatically.
Yeah.
Until they can figure it out.
Yep.
I think this particular disease has a lot of problems with pain management. I mentioned the morphine pumps, but I also had another friend who they have given her fentanyl pops. I think fentanyl has been in the news a lot because it's a very powerful drug. Mm-hmm. And they only, or they usually give fentanyl pops, that's a lollipop, yeah, to terminal cancer patients.
Really?
This lady was in her 30s.
Huh. I mean,
and they decided, all of this, trying to deal with this, affected her personality.
Wow.
So she ended up with some mental health issues. And the last I heard, because her family did an intervention that went really wrong, went badly, and she ended up institutionalized when really the only thing wrong with her is that she has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And
so
she's just trying to live with it. And it's just not, it's just very hard for her.
Yeah, so the lack of understanding and proper treatment made it a comorbidity, which really ended up being the primary disease for her.
Yeah,
at the end
because
of it.
Then it goes into the mental health aspect of things, and now you've got a compound problem where because your behavior, which is a reaction to the condition, is in the way of the treatment.
Right, right.
That you need to have to try and make you physically more comfortable because you are in emotional or psychological agony.
Correct.
Agony.
Correct. I mean, it's like the people with Down syndrome. Essentially, it is a third copy of a chromosome, and that is what creates an entire longevity, a life of having to deal with continued treatments and screening because of any simple health problem, like, for example, the flu. And I guess what I find interesting is that when you have things like, okay, they have a certain facial look about them, but they also have an IQ of 50, the typical 6 or 8 year old. I mean, that's one aspect with the gifts that they have to make things constructive, and yet they have to be monitored, because it sounds like to me similar to that person you mentioned that ended up being institutionalized. The comorbidity becomes the reality, and still the lack of understanding and lack of research leaves everybody still in a quandary.
Lack of understanding and, I think, acceptance. You know, just because I don't understand something doesn't mean that I can't accept
right
that there is an issue here. And I think that that's a problem
right
with people, that because they can't see it or they've never heard of it, oh, I don't believe you,
yes,
and you look okay to me.
Yes.
You know, we get that a lot. We call them also hidden disabilities.
Well, speaking about hidden, we're about to take another break.
Okay.
But I do want to talk to you about these aspects because of the fact that I know you've been doing a lot of research in L.A. and working on a lot of, I guess you could say, programs and campaigns and fundraising efforts to really support these kinds of research that need to be conducted. So I guess I could just say, when we come back, I really want you to go right for the kill and describe all of this, because, as you know, I found it informative yesterday.
All righty.
All right. Speak to hear you in a bit.
All right.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
We'll be right back.
everybody. Welcome to segment three, where I'm being frank about integrative medicine on the focus of disabilities with Ms. Janet Neal, who's on the other line. Very informative, very inspirational. And we've been talking at the core about Down syndrome and autism. But as you can see, that serves as a foundation of understanding that developmental disorders are predominantly genetic, in some cases neurologically. But at many points, it just shows that any kind of genetic disorder that's just not understood and with the lack of proper research continues to remain what I call the quandary, but at the same time, just a perception which socially leaves people with these developmental disorders in a box, a social box. And what we're trying to do, especially on this episode of Frank About Health, is be able to educate how they don't have to be in that position. So, Janet, please do me a favor, do the audience a favor, and really explain the kind of efforts you're doing to help deal with the lack of research that's going on, especially in your commission. I'd like everyone to learn about that.
Well, I am the first vice president of the Los Angeles County Commission on Disability, having been the president for many years of the city's Commission on Disability, and I just want to make a distinction there because some people lump all of this together, but one is the city and one is the county. Mm-hmm. The city one was started in the early 90s by Mayor Tom Bradley. Before that, he had something called the Los Angeles City Council on Disabilities, which was citywide, where each member of city council mm-hmm. appointed a few members, five members to this board. The mayor appointed 15, and we were all over the country, all over the city, mm-hmm. and we learned from each other advocacy. There was no one with my particular disability. There was no one there that really looked like me at all. Mm-hmm. They were mostly affluent people that lived in the San Fernando Valley that used wheelchairs.
Wow.
And I was very different from that. I'm from the inner city. I'm black, and I don't use a wheelchair. I don't use any assistive devices. Mm-hmm. But they pulled me in and taught me so much. And that is what I have tried to share in my advocacy career from the city to now the county. One of the things that we have done with the county commission is that we have a scholarship program for people with disabilities, specifically students transitioning from high school to college, or a college student that wants to further his or her education.
Yes.
We've had one student from Harvard apply for a scholarship 2 years in a row mm-hmm. and received it.
Hmm.
And I was very impressed with that. He was also a veteran because, again, we're across the spectrum of disabilities. And I happened to have met young lady from Jefferson High School. She was Hispanic, and she had the same disability I have. And it was good for her mm-hmm. to see somebody my age and having had a career and being somewhat of a success. Because she, you know, again, she's going to college and didn't really know of anybody else
right.
or had seen anybody else or been able to talk to anybody else with this particular condition.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of made my day, and it just really keeps me motivated to keep going to try and encourage others to not get stuck in this little box that people try and put people with disabilities in
right.
with low expectation. I think something I learned from a lady known as Mary Kay Ash, I think everybody's heard of Mary Kay.
Yes.
She used to say, anything the mind can conceive, you can achieve.
Mm.
And I believe that.
Amazing. And I agree.
Think You have to recognize what you can and you can't do and then go forward from there.
Correct.
It doesn't mean that somebody else can tell you what you can and cannot do. I don't know if that's clear. But you're the only one that can decide.
Right. I think people out there who have these disabilities who in some cases become either interdependent or dependent even, actually listen to what people say you can or cannot do, and they... they oblige. They just simply don't do what they thought they can do and what other people said they can't. And that I think is just simply wrong.
I've seen, I'll give you one example. This is a different type of a disability, but this young man, I think maybe between 10 and 12 years old, mm-hmm. who was deaf, and I don't believe he had ever been to school.
Wow.
And his mother always told him, being overprotective,
yes,
don't open the door if she isn't home. So the other neighbors and the other children in the neighborhood noticed that they hadn't seen him for a little while, and they went down to the house to check on him, and he looked out through the curtains on the door, and right. they could see him, but he wouldn't open the door because his mom told him not to do that. So this went on for almost 2 weeks. So finally, since no one had seen the mom, they had the LAPD to do a safety check, and they found the mother had died. And so now we have this young man that's probably going to end up in foster care, which is not going to help his disability. And he can't read. He can't write. He has no social skills. He knows nothing about fending for himself. And I think that you, and I hate to use this word, cripple, but you cripple your children by not allowing them to self-actualize, not allowing them to do the things that they can do for themselves.
Right. Right, I totally agree. You know, it's just like people with epilepsy. I mean, that's a disease that goes thousands, millennium years old, and then yet the medical profession I have found is looking at it as a new disorder. Well, not new. I mean, we're talking 60 years, 50, 60 years, and still continuing to do the research predominantly in the area of medications. The genetic testing continues, but I personally don't think any results will come from it until like the year 2030. Or even as higher than 2050, but still a lot of it may stem from the commercial attributes that the pharmacy companies continue to make from the profits.
I think that's the bottom line on all of this. What I said before is somebody has to figure out how they're going to make some money
right.
off of this before we get the help that we need.
Right.
My mother had a seizure disorder. They didn't say she had epilepsy. They called it a seizure disorder because they couldn't really figure out why. When she died, she was status epilepticus for 3 or 4 months. And what that means is they were able to stop her physical seizure, but they couldn't stop her brain seizures. And so they just gave her drugs.
And status epilepticus means ongoing, continuous,
mm-hmm.
like a battery that's just short-circuited and continues mm-hmm. to just...
And you can't switch it off.
I mean, it sounds like Lennox-Gastaut syndrome. There was a movie, a documentary on PBS back in May or June. It was called Seized, Understanding the Mysteries of Epilepsy. It was well received by our medical center here, the NYU Langone Medical Center. But yet, I even discovered that aside from the new treatments like medical marijuana or even the continuation of doing drugs or installing little technologies into the brain to stop the seizures, it's still... In my mind, is like a Band-Aid. And from that perspective, one of the patients in there who had Lennox-Gastaut syndrome has seizures every minute. She was diagnosed at 6 months and ended up literally at 13 with the personality of a one-year-old. And it's just a shame because it was genetic and it was not stoppable. She was given the medical marijuana. It didn't help. Her medications were doubled and tripled. She was taking 4 or 5 of them. That didn't help. And unfortunately, she is going to probably die at an early age. But the thing is that I still walk away with the knowledge that perception is everything. And when that perception remains static within the people who don't have this disorder and are probably not aggressive at understanding it, it just continues to remain on the type of research and development that already exists and which is very costly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that... we just have to, like you say, take our own research into our hands, especially if we have the disorder, and do what we can to be able to improve our quality of life by actually investing in ourselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm really pleased with how I was able to get myself in order. I mentioned the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, but I have 11 different medical conditions, stuff like fibromyalgia, Sjogren's syndrome, asthma, bronchitis, rheumatoid and osteoarthritis. And I have been able to get all of those things under control. I also have undetectable HIV from a transfusion I received here in Los Angeles at a very big hospital. And they knew that the transfusion was contaminated and gave it to me anyway and didn't tell me that they did. So they did this in 1981, and I found out in 2003 that I was HIV positive. I had a person at the time that was a personal trainer approach me and say that he was going to go to acupuncture school and wanted to treat me, and again, before I knew I had the HIV, and it took him 8 months to kill the HIV virus, and they can't find it. There is no test that they can give me that shows the virus, and
that's
not
is amazing.
Supposed to happen according to medical research and study.
Well, yeah, and even according to history, I mean, I know that today it's controlled through medication and other treatments, but even hearing the fact that they can't find it within you, what would you attribute that kind of treatment? Acupuncture or something other than?
I would attribute it to what I call integrated medicine.
Hence what we're talking about today.
It's the best of all of it.
Interesting.
What I did was, when I was diagnosed, I did some research to find out what Magic Johnson was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I did everything he did except the ozone therapy. And I think I got better quicker, because when I start something, I go head first in. So when I did acupuncture, and I have to say that I'm needle phobic, I will do dental work without Novocaine to keep from being stuck. And I do acupuncture twice a week.
Interesting, yes. I mean, I just had my dose of it last Friday, and I was sedated,
well,
basically.
But see, it's also, when I was a baby, I had asthma and bronchitis, and I discovered when I was 31 that I had been over-medicated as a child. And now I'm not taking anything for my asthma. It's gone. They can't find my rheumatoid or osteoarthritis. They can't find it. None of these things. That didn't come from the drugs. It didn't come from the medication. It had to come from the acupuncture. With the bottom line on acupuncture is the stimulating your body to take care of itself.
Yes.
To heal itself.
Heal the body versus the disorder.
Correct.
Yes. Well, it looks as though we're headed for our final break, and I think when we get back, I'd like you to focus more, Janet, on all these integrative medicine techniques. Mm-hmm. Try to explain exactly how people with developmental disorders can use it to their advantage, and then I could share with you even more about what I've been trying to do with alternative medicine, even outside of this country. So I look forward to spark another continued conversation in the next 2 minutes. hear you later.
All right.
Take care.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
everybody. Welcome to the last segment of this episode of Frank About Health, where I'm being frank about integrative medicine, especially now in this segment. It's very important. For the last 45 minutes, we've had a chance to speak with Ms. Janet Neal, who's really, in my mind, explored or brought about new issues and new challenges that people with various developmental disorders have to face, but at the same time can actually deal with. And Janet, I wanted to share with you some information about me with epilepsy.
Okay.
As I said earlier, it is genetic. And then as a result of one seizure that I had in 2003, I repeatedly banged my head on the floor and developed a lesion, which gave me partial epilepsy. Only this past summer, I was diagnosed with nocturnal seizures. I had three of them while sleeping. I didn't even know they existed. I do know that's under control right now, thankfully.
Good.
But what I did understand for me is that what controlled that was acupuncture.
Yeah.
And at the same time, what continues to control my epilepsy are very interesting and least toxic drugs. One in particular, which I've expressed on the show, called Lamictal, which also has psychotropic properties, helps with increasing energy and reducing depression.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've also discovered, which I'm sure a lot of people have, is that these branded drugs are no longer affordable.
Yeah.
And speaking about affordable, the Affordable Care Act does not seem to be providing any support in the area of drugs, especially for epilepsy, and I'm sure for other kind of developmental disorders. I've had the opportunity to have on this show two people who are the owners and I believe even the developers of Mark's Marine Pharmacy, based out of Vancouver, Canada. At this point, for practically the same price as one bottle of my medication, I can get a 3.5-4 month supply.
Wow.
Of the drug for the same price and without insurance. So,
wow.
I am a proponent of getting your medication outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I am a proponent of the way that they do their treatment of patients. They actually go through a holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
When they speak to a new patient, they first find out what their disorder is, why they need the medication, how they think they've developed it, what their doctors have said. But then they also contribute what they think can be used to treat it. One of the things they talk about are herbal medicines. They talk about, of course, acupuncture. They talk about even other things that they are creating in their own laboratories that they've found to be productive for their Canadian residents. And I have been really talking to them about this show and the value we can provide to them, especially since at this current time, 98% of their business is from the United States. You know, so with all that information about my background and what I've been trying to do, it's like me being an advocate for everyone out there to continue to do the research, to continue to get the best treatment. But with what you've explained over the last 45 minutes, I definitely would like to know your thoughts on what I've been doing and how that probably fits what you've been doing and how we can go forward from there.
Big old question.
Yeah, I know, right? At 15 minutes, but 15 hours worth of conversation.
Yeah, well, it's going to take me about another week and a half to answer that question. But I think that you have to be your own advocate. I think that, which is something I said earlier about if something is wrong, don't let somebody talk you out of it.
Right.
I've had a loss of medication because I've been stuck with Medi-Cal, and Medi-Cal doesn't really care what your diagnosis is. Some stuff they'll pay for and some stuff they won't. They also will let you have stuff for a little while and then take it away, which is part of the reason why I was happy to be able to do the acupuncture, because it's gotten me away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things that I discovered is the side effects of all of this stuff that they were giving me.
Yes.
That it can have an impact on personality. It can flatten your affect. It can flatten your reaction to things, where things will happen and you don't know that they happen because you were experiencing this side effect of the drugs. Because I know even with the HIV drugs, which I still, they won't let me stop taking it because they're afraid something will happen.
Right.
But I've modified my doses with it, but there's side effects with that that are just absolutely terrible. you know, at which makes a lot of people not want to take it, but you need to take it. And I think it's that way with a lot of the different medications I've heard.
Right.
Patients talk about the medications that they take for epilepsy. I did an internship at a neuropsychiatric hospital, and that was one of the chief complaints of the patients is the side effects from the medication.
Yes.
So I feel that the integrated medicine is probably a better way to go. It isn't as hard on the patient because sometimes the, quote, cure or the, quote, treatment is worse than the disorder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and even like what we're saying is once you have all these side effects, then you're taking even more treatments for those side effects.
Yep.
You know, I guess...
One drug on top of another drug on top of another drug. I was diagnosed with something called xerostomia, which is dry mouth. And come to find out, it was coming from all of these antihistamines and decongestants that I was taking, which I don't take anymore. And so it improved the dry mouth syndrome that I had. So, you know, I wish we had figured this out sooner, because with the dry mouth syndrome, it comes a lot of dental problems.
Right.
So I've got like 7 dental implants.
Mm. Oh my God. I mean, how do you pay for all of this, if you don't mind my asking?
I have a special needs trust that my father set up for me.
Interesting. I said something on my last show, which actually talked about cancer, that you have to set up an investment fund of sorts. I'm not talking about health savings accounts, but I'm talking about...
There's another thing that, like, I have splints on my hand, but they're sterling silver. They look like a piece of jewelry, but they're made specifically for Ehlers-Danlos syndrome to keep my fingers from what they call swanning, which is when they bend back too far.
Wow.
And Medi-Cal paid for those. There is a way to get Medi-Cal here in California to pay for stuff because of your disability, which I want to briefly mention the Americans with Disabilities Act, because that is the... road into getting what you need to have. You ask when somebody you need something and they say no, and you respectfully request a reasonable accommodation under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Right.
And that's a yes or no question, and they will go, huh, what are you talking about? No, we can't do that. And they say, okay, so then you're refusing, and they'll say yes or no, and you say, okay, well, then that's failure to provide a reasonable accommodation under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and you go straight to the Department of Justice and make your complaint.
Now, on that note, what do you think is going to happen, depending on who our new president is, with these acts? Or what's... I mean, maybe that's not an appropriate conversation right now.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm very worried with one of the candidates, with the dismissiveness and the marginalizing of groups of people. I'm very concerned because I keep hearing some of the programs that benefit people with disabilities or people that are below the poverty level are considered entitlement programs. And it bothers me that these individuals that are saying this, you know, received help. They received food stamps. They received Medi-Cal and things like that, and now that they've become successful and have a high income, they're looking down on the rest of us that are still below the poverty level, and I'm very concerned about how that's going to interact with the homeless population. We have too many people with disabilities that are on the street, and most of them have mental health issues.
Yes, yes. What do you think that's going to do for integrative medicine with all these holistic techniques and acupuncture and everything we've been talking about?
I don't think that it's going to, the federal level is going to catch up. I think here in California, we will probably catch up before anybody else. I'm hoping that at some point in the very near future, our governor will sign something that gives more credence and credibility to acupuncturists and the alternative medicine. It's coming. It's just slow.
Right.
The insurance companies don't want to pay for it. It gets people well, and that's not what they're in the business of. They're in the business of people being sick so that they can charge you. over and over and over again for treatment that, as I just said, you end up getting too much medication and all these side effects. We have people that have become dependent on pain medication and things like that. I would like to see something happen within the alternative medicine community to lessen that particular burden on society. I also think, going back to the Down syndrome, and the autism, I also feel that acupuncture has a direct impact on those conditions also, to allow you to manage your condition better.
Because it is affecting your body, which is in itself being, the genetics are basically continuing to manifest whatever symptoms are with those.
Well, I have a theory that, and because of something I did called neuromuscular reeducation, where you basically reboot your nervous system so that when you have a neurological issue, it can soften. It also helps to, I'm going to use the term, massage a gene because genes can change.
Amazing.
Just like they mutated to cause the disability, with constant reinforcement, like I'm saying, through the neuromuscular reeducation, constantly sending a new clear message.
Right.
The body reboots, and that makes that old message of the illness in the past and not a new memory. You make new memories for your muscles, because muscles have memory.
Right.
Nerves have memory. It all has. So you have to get rid of that old memory of the illness.
Yes.
I hope this is not too complicated.
No. But actually,
but it's like reprogramming it. It's like wiping your computer clean and going and starting all over again. It's rebooting your body. When I've done the neuromuscular reeducation, right after the treatment, the therapist would have me write, which I couldn't understand why she would have me do this. But once I started doing that, I could see why, because I noticed a difference in my handwriting. I could read it.
Yes.
I noticed my thought clarity. What that was doing was increasing the serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter.
Janet, I don't mean to interrupt you. I've just been given the signal that it's time to end. I definitely am going to give you a call and talk further. Thank you so much.
I told you we could do this forever.
I know. Janet, you've been the best. I appreciate this. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being on this episode of Frank About Health. I will be in touch pretty soon. Janet Neal, everybody, you can check her out on Google. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a wrap up. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.